Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Don't we need them? Don't we especially need them in our technological world today? What am I talking about? I'm talking about strategies. Strategies for living, that is.
Boy, do we need them.
Are you ready? You ready for your daily dose of radio rehab?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm not sure that I'm ready, but I'm anxious to hear what today's going to hold. Hey, folks, welcome. Welcome into 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel. Welcome into another edition of our little program that we call Strategies for Living. I'm Dr. David McMillan. She is psychotherapist PLPC Leon McMillan.
It's me.
And we're going to get technological today.
Beep, bop,
Lauren?
Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah. How did we end up here? Ooh. I mean, you and I talk about technology a lot.
Sure.
It's not always.
We
do use it all the time, but when we talk about it, it's not always, you know, it's not always positive. I mean, you know, how did we end up here?
One of those sayings, right? Technology is great when it works.
Yeah. We just experienced that. But anyway, masters of scientific insight, purveyors of ever more powerful technologies, astride the burning planet that created us. And now responsible for cleaning up the mess and determining the future direction of all of life? That's the question posed on the book of our life strategist today. And it goes on to ask, what do we do about it? Yeah. Good question, huh?
Excellent.
Great questions.
I think it's about time that we ask those questions.
Yeah. And our life strategist has a new book. His new book is Technology is Dead. His name is Christopher Colbert, and subtitle is The Path to a More Human Future. And man, don't we need a more human future?
Yes, we do.
So we've got a lot to talk about. Technology is dead is really kind of attempting to answer both of the questions posed that I posed a moment ago. It's a book of both. Well, there's challenge in it, and there's also hope in it. And I think we've got a lot to talk about with Christopher Colbert today.
I think so. I mean, just in the past few decades, we can see how quickly technology has evolved. And, you know, I often wonder, okay, how are we evolving alongside of it? And is it, you know, outrunning us?
Well, are you asking the question, are we controlling it, or is it controlling us? Is that really kind of what you're getting at?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I think I really can't speak to that, and I don't know that you can speak to that,
no.
But I will tell you, I would imagine that our life strategist is going to speak to that today. He is Christopher Colbert. And he is the author of Technology is Dead. Really? Yeah, we're going to talk about it today. Thank you for tuning in to Strategies for Living. We appreciate you being here with us, and we appreciate our sponsors making it all possible. The Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Pintail Roofing and Learning RX and the Balanced Life Wellness Center. Back in a moment to meet Christopher Colbert, our life strategist, here on Strategies for Living.
Hi, this is Jay Merle for Pintail Roofing. Let's talk about quality. When you hire Pintail to build your roof, here's what you can expect. Quality and quality control are the most important concerns for us at Pintail, and you need to know that Pintail stands tall with swift and professional performance on any warranty call. This is our most important policy. And remember, we're your neighbors. We'll be here for you for the long haul. Our family's lived here for over 100 years, and we aren't going anywhere. On the commercial side of Pintail's business, our fluid-applied roofing solutions can save thousands of dollars over conventional commercial roofing options. Call Pintail at 226-ROOF for a free inspection of your home or commercial building. That's 226-7663. Pintail Roofing. What's the condition of your roof?
And welcome in. Welcome into Strategies for Living here on 1017 FM, 710 Keel. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. Let's welcome into the program Christopher Colbert. He is the former managing director of the Harvard Innovation Labs and a global speaker and advisor on the convergence between technology, innovation, and, believe it or not, humanity.
Well, of course.
Yeah, Christopher Colbert, welcome. Welcome, Mr. Colbert, into Strategies for Living.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Lauren. And you can call me Chris. So let's just start there.
All right.
But I'm really appreciative of being invited. And I have to say, I love the theme of your show. I love the idea that we all need strategies for living.
Thank you.
Both as individuals and as a collective. And so I just commend you for the work you and Lauren are doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In my case, it's been going on. This work has been going on for over 30 years.
Yes.
Strategies is, last month celebrated our 32nd anniversary.
Yeah.
On the air.
Amazing.
So anyway,
I'm just thankful to come along for the last few years. Of the ride.
I'm glad you are along. And Chris, we're glad you're along.
Yes,
too.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. So the title, I got to start there.
Everybody has that question.
Yeah. Yeah.
It begs to be asked.
It seems to be, and you would think, okay, well, this is a book about technology, but it's not. What is it a book about?
Yeah, it's about humanity. And the reason for the title is really twofold. One is purely as a provocation.
Yeah.
You know, you both know as well as I do that the first task in trying to communicate anything is to get the attention of the other.
Right.
Yes.
And titles matter, and cover design in the book world, titles matter, cover design mm-hmm. matter.
Absolutely.
Less in the digital space, but still true. So, you know, First reason is that, but the more important reason is what I'm trying to say, which is we have allowed, and I think Lauren said this earlier, we have allowed sort of technology to almost take over us.
Mm-hmm.
To insinuate itself into our lives in a way where we treat it as part of our identity.
Mm.
Yeah.
And in that way, we almost treat it as if it is animate. It is alive.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
My point is, it is not animate. It is not alive. It is dead. And it is only of real value to us when it's put through the filter of what is really healthy for us, what is good for us, what is best for us, versus what I think we've allowed it to do, which is to create new measures of living that are not necessarily healthy measures.
Yeah. We've kind of allowed the tail to wag the dog in a way, I guess.
You think?
I couldn't help but chuckle when you said that we treat it as animate, because I have named the lights you know, Google and you can name the lights, switches.
Oh, and it so confuses me. I have to remember that my dining room is named one thing. The living room is named.
And one lamp is named Velma. So
yeah, we got Christopher. We got Velma.
Yep.
Christine. And, you know, Christine, yeah. So. I have to remember all of that. Chris.
And there's nothing wrong with that per se. I think it's just one of the people I reference a lot is when I was at Harvard, I spoke at a conference there on the public good. And there was a gentleman by the name of Ash Carter, who was Obama's Secretary of Defense. Long ago, and he had joined the Belfer Center at Harvard, and his whole thing was really about what we're talking about today, is how do we do a better job as a species guiding technology versus it guiding us. And the specific quote that I reference is he said in his speech at that event, "We cannot slow technology, but we must learn to steer it." And I think that steering function is both a societal one, and you see this with AI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the countries all over the world are trying to figure out, well, how do we steer this to a place where the consequences are positive and there are limited or mitigated unintended negative consequences?
Yeah,
but the same steering applies at an individual level, and that's why I love your show. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're basically staying in Strategies for Living, steer your life.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Don't let your life steer you. You steer it.
You get
and
it.
Don't let technology steer us. We steer it.
But you know, and you just mentioned artificial intelligence, mm-hmm. and of course, it's on a lot mm-hmm. of people's minds. And it seems to me, Chris and Lauren, that I don't know that, you know, in my lifetime, I've witnessed a lot of technology.
I'm sure,
you know, because I'll soon be 68 years old. So I've seen a lot.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But I don't remember through all of that technology, all of those technological changes mm-hmm. from the very basic rudimentary computers and calculators that I had way back in the day. To today, I don't remember anything coming along that people have been so reticent about, even frightened and fearful about, mm-hmm. as artificial intelligence.
Right. And why do you think that is? What's your guess?
My guess,
go ahead,
personally,
Lauren.
is that idea of sentience and where that line is.
Yeah.
And
My idea is people sense the power.
Yeah, well, yeah.
The power and the, you know.
And it almost reflects back to us, I think, sometimes the sentience in us that we have yet to awaken.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I would, where my mind goes with that.
I agree with that. I think one of the, are you familiar with Maslow, Abraham Maslow?
Absolutely.
Oh, very much so. Yeah. Hierarchy of needs, yes.
I've probably given 50 speeches in the last three years and across a range of topics, from how to unite Africa to how to help South Korea win the innovation arms race. I mean, you name it, I've talked about it. And in almost every speech, I reference Maslow. Mm. So my view on the AI thing and why it has gotten everybody's attention and I think motivated a fair amount of fear, it goes to Maslow, because I think it's the first technology outside of nuclear technology that we perceive as a direct threat to our ability to survive. Hmm. So base level of Maslow is physiological need, food, water, shelter, money, you know, the basic things you need to exist.
Right.
And I think it's been pretty accurately predicted that AI is going to eliminate, is already eliminating entire swaths of careers and jobs.
Yes. Sure.
Yep.
Sure.
And that of course that creates fear, you know, whereas I think the internet was more, okay, how's this going to impact businesses? Mm-hmm. They're going to have to figure out how to become more digital. They're going to have, they might have storefronts online. They might have, you know, rethink their supply chain, whatever, whatever. But it wasn't so individual. It wasn't a threat to me.
Right.
And I think the prospects of AI and this sentient ability, as you mentioned, it can replace me. Mm-hmm. There may not be a role for me.
Mm. Yeah.
And by the way, an aside, I have a lot of friends in the creative world, and a number of them are writers.
Yes.
And they are actively losing clients.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting because in the last few months, mm-hmm. I have dove in and I was asked to do record a couple of books for an author friend of,
yeah,
of
do
Lauren.
Make an audio book for
make an audio book. And I was, Chris, I was really excited about it, right? And all fired up mm-hmm. about it. And but, you know, all of a sudden I'm reading here and I'm reading there mm-hmm. that everybody's just punching a button.
and AI
is becoming better and better at voicing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might just play a little devil's advocate here. How is that this? It's a similar complaint to the Industrial Revolution. Yeah. Mm. When machines and factories started, quote unquote, you know, putting people out of jobs. Well, not quote unquote, actually putting people out of jobs, well, right?
Perhaps people had the same kind of voicing the same kind of fears then, mm-hmm. but we weren't around to hear it. My question, Chris, is there anything that is going to slow this train down?
Well, I think Ash Carter, well, sadly, he passed away a couple of years ago, but I think he was right. I don't think we can slow it down. I think the only thing I think there's a number of things we can do, but I do think we can attempt to steer it. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the book is more a societal, it really is a societal view that ends up, the last chapter is really a personal view. Mm-hmm. But my point is we need to figure out how to steer it globally, nationally, corporately, community-wise, and then we also need to figure out how to steer it within the confines of our own lives and our own families and our own homes.
Yeah, because it all starts.
And on the steering, on the very personal level, I'll tell you a story. A couple months ago, ended up talking to a guy. I didn't know him. I don't know how we were connected, but somehow, and it wasn't around my book. Somehow, he brings up on a call, you know, I'm really worried about my two kids. And I say, how old are the kids? And he says, I have a 9-year-old, 11-year-old daughter. And I said, what are you worried about? And he says, they're the phones. Mm. That when they're home, they're not home.
Right. Yeah.
And my 9-year-old is really showing signs of anxiety. And my 11-year-old seems to be going through bouts of depression. Mm. And they're just so disconnected from their mother and I just don't know what to do about it. Mm. And I say, have you considered reducing the amount of time they can spend on their phone?
Right.
And he says, and I quote, I could never do that. They would hate me. And I said, well, let me understand. What is worse to you? To be hated for some limited period of time until they get over it, or for your children to potentially suffer from this experience for years, if not a life to come?
Yeah.
There are.
Like, you're talking about their mental health.
Yeah. Yes. And there are so many questions just like that to be posed. Christopher Colbert is helping us get through it. His book, Technology is Dead. We're talking to him today. He's our life strategist here on Strategies for a Living. We've got a whole lot more to come and a whole lot more to learn from Christopher Colbert. Buckle your seatbelt, come back, stay with us here on Strategies. Hey, let's talk about the Robinson Film Center. You know, I say it a lot. There's no place like the
Absolutely
Robinson.
Absolutely, there is not.
617 Texas Street, downtown Shreveport. You've got so much. You've got the movies. You got Abby Singer's Bistro on the second floor of RFC, open for lunch and dinner Tuesday through Saturday.
Newly remodeled.
Absolutely. Great menu. RobinsonFilmCenter.org is the way you check it all out. You can go to RobinsonFilmCenter.org at any time and find out what movies are showing. Here's the deal. You want to join the crowd, join the fun, become a member. When you become a member, you become a star. Mm-hmm. You get discounts on movies, you get concession upgrades, you get bistro deals. RFC, 617 Texas Street in downtown Shreveport. I'll say it again. There's no place like the Robinson.
There is not, and I'm glad we have one right here.
Absolutely. The Robinson Film Center.org.
Reading begins not in the classroom, but in your child's brain. I'm Donisa Walker with LearningRx Shreveport. If your child struggles to read, maybe he or she has trouble focusing or comprehending, LearningRx Shreveport offers a science solution to reading problems, working one-on-one with your child, targeting his or her reading skills. Today, call LearningRx Shreveport. Make an appointment to have your child assessed. I know you want to help your child. So does LearningRx Shreveport.
And welcome back in. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, with Christopher Colbert today, his new book. And man, you know, we say on Strategies, we're all about helping us think and stretching our minds. Talk about a book that will stretch your mind. Go Get Technology Is Dead. Wherever you buy books, out from CRC Press. It's by Christopher Colbert, and he is our life strategist today here on Strategies for Living.
And if you want to learn more, you can always check him out at chriscolbert.com. Chris, you have a podcast, too, I see on your website.
I do. I haven't recorded in about a year, but I did about 150 episodes. It's titled Insert Human. It's still available on all the platforms. And the whole idea, which really echoes what the book is about, is how to bring more human understanding into our lives.
Yes.
And also into our vocations.
Yeah.
And so the show toggled between interviews with people from different industries and careers who were trying to bring more human into their work. And then I would do every other week, I would do monologues on just observations about really about how to live more strategically to use your theme.
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah, and I love the title, Insert Human.
But, you know, and we've been dealing with this for a little while. I mean, you quote in the book Einstein, you give an Einstein quote in the book. I think it was in chapter 3 or so. And where Einstein says, you know, it's become appallingly obvious that our technology has exceeded our humanity. And so this is not something new that we're dealing
with. No.
Yeah.
No, I mean, if all you did was read the quote at the beginning of every chapter, you will quickly realize that this distancing between technology and us and its takeover of the proverbial wheel of the train has been going on for decades. And the really, really smart people saw it coming.
Yeah.
This is not a new idea at all.
So what are we've mentioned AI, but what are the threats? I'm not sure that, I'm using AI.
Yeah.
And I'm really enjoying my use of AI, and I'm listening to as many different quote unquote experts out there as I can, and I hear, you know, and I, but I'm again, I'm enjoying my use of it so far. I guess you know, it's more of a playing with it.
Yeah.
It's play.
Yeah, but, it's a conscious playing.
But what are the biggest threats? That are, you know, that what are the emerging specters of threat? That's one of your chapter titles.
Yeah. The most obvious one is climate. Obviously, technology has had a profound impact on climate. Pandemics, you know, COVID was pretty significantly magnified as a consequence of technology and globalization, the transfer of the virus. One of the more interesting ones, which I was literally talking about with somebody this morning, is negative population growth. So in the Western world and in Japan, and China struggles with this as well, most of the countries are faced with negative population growth as a function in part of technology, an unintended consequence of technology.
And is that about...
And what is...
Is that about the radiation that's emitted, the frequencies, or what is...
No, it's not a biological issue. It's a psychological issue, which is the pace of life.
Okay.
The nature of life, the individualization, what I call hyper-individualization of society, has got us in a place where people just simply aren't interested in having children. And then you add to it, I was talking to my wife about it this morning over breakfast. We got into a whole conversation about the cost of living.
Yeah.
And, you know, my daughter, who's 2 months away from having her first child, 8 years ago said she wanted to have 4 children, and now she's determined that she and Paul might have 2.
Wow.
And the rationale for them is economic.
Yeah.
You know, college now costs almost $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
But I think more interestingly, it's less the economic drivers and more the social drivers and what I said, this idea of hyper-individualization. Technology, which we perceive as a positive, has allowed us to get what we want, do what we want, when we want it. And get it in exactly the same way, the exact way we want it, and get it almost immediately.
And relationships aren't like that.
No, they are not. Boy, you're so smart. No, they are not. And so each and every day we are being sent a message to ourselves through the lens of technology that is really a lens of or a message of, It's about you. It's about your individualism, and there's almost an air of entitlement to it.
Yeah.
And you juxtapose that with, I don't know if you both are parents, but the role of a parent is the opposite of individualism and entitlement. You know, yes. you are a giver.
Absolutely.
You are a caretaker. You are every minute of every day while your children exist, you are worrying about them, concerned about them, thoughtful about them. And so you have this collision between what the sensibility that technology is imbuing in us versus the sensibility required to be a parent.
Right.
And more people are opting out. Recent stat, 50% of Americans under the age of 40 have no interest in having children.
Wow.
And the downstream consequences of negative population growth, because it sounds like a wonky thing. Who cares about negative population growth? By 2100, Japan's population will be cut in half.
Whew.
I think it's like 100 million, and it'll go to like 50 million. And of the remaining 50 million, the vast majority will be over the age of 70. So when you get to that place, how does the society work? How does the economy work? Who does the work? You know, there aren't able-bodied people.
Unless technology starts to beat us there at that point.
Well, and I think that's a wonderful point. There's this term techno-utopians who, when the doomsday stuff, and I'm not a doomsdayer, but when the negative stuff is brought forward, their sort of singular stances, well, technology will solve that problem. You know, by 2100, it won't matter what the age of the population is or the distribution, because humans won't have to work.
We'll have all this technology doing all this stuff for us. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know about
that. But I want to go back to the I think the greatest unintended consequence, which very much relates to your work, is loss of sense of self and loss of understanding of the other.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think of this equation, the human thing, like what it means to be human and what it means to be in love and what it means to be a friend and what it means to care for a stranger. A lot of that stuff I won't say it's lost, but it's it's been lessened by the omnipresence of technology and our fixation on transaction, on getting what I want when I want it, on rushing, doing as much as we can. You know, it's we're losing our humanness.
Yeah.
And when you lose that, what do you got left?
Not much.
It's interesting to watch.
Not much.
You know, almost it seems almost the more we are, quote unquote, connected through technology, the more disconnected to ourselves and each other we often become.
What a paradox, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, well said again, Laura. Here's a scenario which is happening all over the world. Mm-hmm. There are people who live in urban areas who get up, brush their teeth, do whatever, have their breakfast, go to work at their desk in the living room.
Right.
They never actually interact with another human being. Mm. It is possible to live in downtown Boston and have zero intimate relationships, have zero real friends, have zero physical contact. Mm-hmm. And I refer to that as the atomization and anonymization of society.
Mm. Wow.
When everybody sort of is effectively an automaton and disconnected because they're not physically, either not physically with other people, or even if they are physically with other people, they are afraid of intimate connection. And here's an example on that. My wife and I were in Seattle last weekend, and we went to a wedding. And the wedding was on Bainbridge Island off the coast of Seattle. Mm-hmm. We get off the ferry to get on the shuttle bus to go to the resort or retreat where the wedding was. All the people on the shuttle bus were going to the wedding. We all knew that it was a wedding shuttle bus. So there are 30 people on this bus.
Okay.
Nobody said hello to each other.
Wow.
No. And we all knew that we are going to Tiffany and Reed's wedding.
So you all knew the same person and were celebrating the same people.
But nobody greeted anybody.
And, well, I did.
Okay. Well, good for you.
So I ended up for the subsequent 48 hours doing a test. So here's the test. How many people introduced themselves to me versus how many people did I introduce myself to?
Yeah.
Because we didn't know any of the other people there other than the bride and groom. So I introduced myself to 60 people.
Okay.
So I walk up to you, David, and I say, "Hi, I'm Chris. You know, what's your name and how do you know Tiffany and Reed?"
Yeah.
I did it 60 times. Uh-huh. Guess how many people walked up to me and put their hand out?
I'm going to make a guess. Zero.
Go. One.
One. I would have guessed three. So, wow.
So, you know, or in the subway, you know, how many people look at each other anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many people say hello to strangers on the street or at my gym? There are these lovely people that do all the cleaning. Nobody even acknowledges that they exist.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not right.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously there needs to be a change, perhaps a revolution. We're going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. Maybe those are the strategies, you know? We are strategies for living, so let's come back and let's talk about the revolution that might need to begin. Maybe it has already begun. You need to read this book, folks. Technology is Dead, Christopher Colbert, at your favorite bookseller. And we've got him today, right here on Strategies for Living. Stay with us and come back. Dealing with stress? Pain? Feel like you're running out of options? When your life is balanced, wellness is a given. True wellness is holistic. It's about the mind, the body, and the spirit, all in balance. Now, there's a place right here in Shreveport that's all about helping us achieve peak mental, emotional, and physical health. The Balanced Life, 117 Kings Highway, right next door to Strawn's. Come see and feel the difference getting your life in balance can be. Many of your friends and neighbors have already learned the difference less stress and pain mean in their lives. You can book a discovery session right now online, thebalancedlife.us. All you've got to lose is stress, pain, or maybe both. Come see and feel for yourself the real difference Balanced Wellness makes. The Balanced Life Wellness Center, 117 Kings Highway in Shreveport, next door to Strawn's. TheBalancedLife.us. And welcome back. Welcome back into 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, our life strategist today, Christopher Colbert, and his book, Technology is Dead. You really want a book that'll make you think, a book for our times.
Packed with strategies for living.
Absolutely. Well, then you want to go get a copy of this book and check him out on his website.
ChrisColbert.com.
There you go. All right. So if I had my Beatles collection, I'd put on the White Album and say, we need a revolution. That's true, though, isn't it? We do need a revolution of sorts, don't we, Chris?
Yeah. I mean, the idea that I write about in the book is that this problem that we have, this technology-led world that is producing a myriad of unintended and unhealthy consequences, is not going to be solved top-down.
Yeah.
The nation state, governments, leaders, politicians, even the global organizations like the World Trade or World Health or UN are not all of a sudden going to embrace this as a priority and then begin to establish the policies and the guardrails for how we do a better job of not just steering technology, but how we do a better job of promulgating the importance of our humanity and being more human. Mm-hmm. And so what I call for is this idea of a humanist revolution, which, by the way, Adrian LaFrance, who's the executive editor of The Atlantic, writes about this same topic a fair amount, and she refers to it as the need for a renaissance.
Hmm.
So whether you want to think of it as a renaissance or think of it as a revolution, the idea is motivating a movement, more people stepping forward to embrace the truth of our humanity and the importance of holding on to our humanity, fostering our humanity, and taking action through that lens, where whether you're a parent of two little girls, 9/11, you're a community leader, you're a head of a company, or you're just a person on the street, that you are attempting to, as I said, bring more human understanding into how you view the world, bring more human understanding into how you engage the world. Beginning with the relationships you already have.
Yeah.
Beginning with putting down your phone more, beginning with being a bit more contemplative, beginning with saying hello to strangers.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
I really believe that. Go ahead. Sorry.
Can you imagine more of us doing the strategizing, if you will, and doing what you did at that wedding and purposefully and very intentionally
seeking out human connection.
Seeking out human connection, yeah. Whether it's with the guy that's mopping the floor.
Right, yeah.
Because we're
all human and we're all in it together.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you guys, and this, I feel like, you know, you guys get this better than I do. Like, these are choices.
Yeah.
You know, strategy is a choice. Mm-hmm. So if we are human, which we are, and we seek more meaning in our life, which most of us do, or we seek more contentment, we seek more happiness, we seek more, there are choices then to be made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, life is not done to us. We, like Ash Carter said, we can steer this life if we choose to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, life is not done to us. Life is done for us,
yeah.
But we have to
recognize
it and embrace that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the big thing in this, go back to Maslow, I fundamentally believe we are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And we are susceptible to the seven deadly sins, which are all manifestations of fear. Pride and greed and gluttony and sloth and wrath are all fear derivatives.
Good
point.
So the ability to put down the phone, which is a sacrifice, presumes that we are letting go of the fear of not being connected, not feeling validated, not feeling important, and replacing it with the love of ourself and the contentment with simply being with ourselves or being with the other, whether the other is your lover, the other is your child, the other is a stranger, that is how to achieve more meaning in life.
Yeah.
I love that. It's hearkening back to what you started the show off with, which is, you know, being able to separate and know ourselves, who we are as an identity beyond the technology. And so, so being able to do that, we can recognize maybe then the technology that's within us all along, the human technology, perhaps.
Exactly. I have three kids. They're all now in their 30s. And the thing I wish for them, and I think they're all on a good journey towards this, is the ability to look in the mirror and be really okay with who they see. Including the parts that maybe aren't viewed typically as positive, or the weaknesses, or the whatever. If you can achieve that, then you have the capacity to not be afraid to engage others, you know, the capacity to spend time quietly with yourself.
Right.
Like, a lot of that fear goes away when you get okay with you.
Yes, absolutely.
And when you're not okay with you, it magnifies those fears.
Sure.
You're underscoring.
I mean, think about social media.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
You're underscoring something that we talk a lot about here on Strategies, and that is the primary relationship. Relationships are so important, but the primary relationship that every single one of us has, and you're touching on it, Chris, it's the relationship with ourselves.
For sure. I call it intimacy. If you said to me, what's your goal in life? And I said, well, I think I've achieved it, but I continue to sort of refine it is intimacy, beginning with myself, like knowing thyself, that expression, know thyself, and being okay when I look in the mirror, which, by the way, I wasn't okay with it for 40 years of my life, being okay with that. And then the minute you can be intimate with yourself, then you can be intimate with your partner.
Else.
You can be intimate with everybody else. And, you know, like, guys, I wasn't kidding. If I was in Shreveport right now, I would come right over.
And we're not
and
kidding.
And we'd hang out.
We'd invite you, and here we'd go.
To have you. We might be up all night talking.
And we probably would
we
be
might
up
be.
All night. Yeah, yeah. But I
we
tell
might
you what,
be.
I got.
But I think.
I got to tell you what, Chris. I mean, number one, if this conversation is indicative at all, and I know it is, of all that's in this book, I got to tell our listeners that we hadn't even scratched the surface.
No.
I mean, and so that's why I know we would be up all night and probably the next day too. So what you got to do, folks, is you got to continue the conversation with Christopher Colbert. How do you do that? Well, go get the book, Technology is Dead. And yeah, we'll have him back here as soon as we can get him back and continue the conversation here. But in the meantime, go get this book, Technology is Dead, at your favorite bookseller, Christopher Colbert. We'll be back here on Strategies for Living in just a moment. This needs to be about a five-hour show,
yeah,
you know?
It really does.
We'll be back. You're going to see the difference when you go to Azalea Cleaners. You'll hear about it, too. Azalea Cleaners has been fine dry cleaning since 1958, plus laundry, alterations and repairs, comforters, wedding gown cleaning and restoration. You'll hear about it from your friends because they'll see it, too. They'll notice the Azalea difference. Azalea is convenient. 732 Azalea Drive, 9220 Ellerby Road, and 9227 Mansfield Road, plus the front door of your home or business with Azalea's delivery on demand. Just text SETUP to 249-8283, and Azalea will pick up your clothes and deliver them back clean and fresh to you. You can't get closer than that. That's the Azalea difference. You'll notice it right away. Others will too. The Azalea difference. Fine dry cleaning since 1958. Text SETUP to 249-8283 and get the Azalea difference. AzaleaCleaners.com. Hey, welcome back. Welcome back into 101.7 FM 710 Key. We do need about a five-hour show.
Absolutely, we do.
And the producers in there are shaking his head.
Come on.
No, can't have it. So, Christopher Colbert is our life strategist today. His book is Technology is Dead.
The Path to a More Human Future.
So, welcome back into Strategies for Living here on 101.7 FM 710 Keel. And Christopher, we will definitely invite you back. And
you're welcome anytime.
You're doing such important work. And
yes, thank you so much
for our time.
You're welcome.
Yeah. What do you really want people to take away? You know, what's the biggest single thing that you want people to, once they have engaged in the conversation with you through the book, what do you really want them to take away?
That's a great question. And it's funny. I wrote another book, 2019, very different book titled This Is It. And it's basically a part memoir, part, it's really a self-help book trying to help people navigate, really create a strategy for life. Echoes the work that you and Lauren are doing. And the last chapter of the book is titled, It's All a Choice. Which is, we were just talking about that. Being more human, working towards greater intimacy with oneself, caring more for the other, listening more intently to the other, better understanding the other. These are all choices.
Yeah.
They're not really that complicated.
Yeah.
The complication is in the investment. You know, choosing differently than you might have chosen before.
It's in the choices and decisions, isn't it?
Yeah.
Christopher, thank you.
Yeah, and there is. Yeah, sorry. I was just going to say there is, for some, there's perceived risk in making different choices. But my experience is when you choose to be more human, there is no risk. There's only reward.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Christopher Colbert. Folks, go get the book. Thank you for tuning in to Strategies for Living. We appreciate our sponsors. The Robinson Film Center, Azalea Cleaners, and Learning RX, and Pintail Roofing, and the Balanced Life Wellness Center. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call that you could make, who would you call? What would you say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Christopher Colbert and for Lauren Leon McMillan, I'm David McMillan. See you next time on Strategies for Living.